Let us pray. Father, thank you that you are here with us. I thank you for your presence. I thank you that you speak through your scriptures. Lord, as we gather, I pray, Holy Spirit, with humility, I ask that you speak through me, that you prepare only that you can do good hearts for your teachings to fall on our hearts and our minds. And the result of that, we walk in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Man, it is so good to see you. I'm Pastor Anthony. I've been out of town for the last couple weeks, and it's great to be back. And school's starting. All right, let's hear. Kids, if you're excited to go back to school, let's hear like a little, are you guys excited? Parents, let's hear if you are excited for your kids to go back to school. Oh, there we go. Right on. Man, children, it's okay. It's okay. Just 18 more years or so, then you're free. So I've got a question. You're going to share your response with someone next to you. If you're at home watching with someone, share it with them. When you hear the word blessed or bless or blessing, something along those lines, blessings, what are the first few things that come to your mind? Share with one another. Go. All right. So I asked this at our men's prayer gathering, which is every Wednesday morning at 6:15, right there in the prayer room. So if you love Jesus, you can come gather with us every morning at 6:15 to wake Jesus up. No, but I asked this of our prayer group, and the first thing I heard was family, health, and then Kevin Brown, because he just loves Jesus so much, the blessed blood of our Lord and Savior who died and rose for our sins. I'm like, this isn't Sunday school, but that's a good answer, Kevin, thank you. And blessed, when we hear that word, many things come to our mind. It's kind of a hard word to define. It's very much kind of a religious word. Like, I'm not from the South. Some people wouldn't call Texas the South, but for me it is. So it's something I started to hear all the time, like, bless this mess. And I didn't really know what this word is just used in the culture. So when I can't wrap my head around something, a word or a phrase or a concept, I like to look up memes on the internet because they're funny, and normally the comedy of it kind of shows what is happening there. So I Googled on the internet, blessed memes, and here's the first thing. I get it. That's funny, right? It's a blessed meme. Then the next one I found was this, right? Oh, hashtag blessed, right? Yep. This one, Buddy Jesus. There you go. Good old Buddy Jesus. That brings me back to college. Then this next one, how many of you love the godforsaken place called Hobby Lobby? Yes, my wife and son, for them, it's like, I mean, it's just the place to go, and they drag me there, and I'm a long-suffering servant of my wife and child, so I go with him. But I Googled Hobby Lobby bless, and I mean, this just goes on for pages upon pages, and some of you are like, is he making fun of me? Because I have 14 of those signs in my entryway at home. It's up to you if I'm judging you or not, yes. But bless, again, is this thing, it's hard for us to define. And for many of us, myself included, the word bless kind of has this like feel-good, flowery, kind of Christian mixed with the American dream, happy, healthy, wealthy feeling around it. But I want us this morning to actually, we're kicking off a new series called Blessings and Curses. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at what the scriptures actually say about what it means to be blessed. What are curses according to the scriptures? And what does that mean for you and I as we follow Jesus in our everyday, ordinary lives? Now, even a simple word search in the Bible does not really clarify things too much. In the Old Testament alone, there's 6 words in the Hebrew that we translate to blessed. I'm not going to go into the nuances of all. It doesn't really matter for our bigger purpose. But it's the words we translate, it shows up blessed in our Old Testament in the English version over 400 times. over 400 times. In the New Testament, how we translate the Greek to bless shows up over 100 times. So in the scriptures, like, this is a big theme throughout the story, the narrative of God and his people and how it plays out in our lives. And in all the studying I did this week, this is the most concise definition I found. Throughout both the Old Testament and New Testament, the concept of blessing primarily is related to the situation people enjoy as a result of God's gracious, kind, and generous action on their behalf. In the cases of both Barak and Asar, this is from the Old Testament in the Hebrew, as well as the major terms related to blessing in the New Testament, the favor or beneficial circumstances have their source in God. He is the one bestowing blessing, either in the present situation or in an anticipated time. You're like, that's great. Half of you zoned out. I think I blacked out while I read it. That's still a very academic idea. Again, my goal this morning is to say, how do we take this huge concept, kind of like a overview arch of what blessed is in the scriptures? And this kind of got kicked off because today is our back-to-school Sunday, our backpack blessing. At the end of the service, we're going to have all the students and all the teachers from our preschool and the surrounding schools come up, and they're going to receive a blessing from the Lord. And I hope at the end of this, our time together, we have a different understanding of what that actually means. But to help us begin to understand this, we have to go all the way back to the beginning of the scriptures, way back to Genesis 1, where the word blessed first shows up in Genesis 1:22, and we read, "And God blessed them, saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth.'" So God blessed them. Them is referring to the animals. God created them. He called them good. He spoke them into existence, and he blesses them. And the result of God, Yahweh, blessing his creation is to be fruitful and multiply. So with God's blessing, the response is to be fruitful and multiply. And then the next time we see it pop up a couple of verses later is in verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds and the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth.'" Them here refers to who? The first humans. So God creates the animals, he calls them good, and he calls them to be fruitful and multiply. Then he creates the humans, and he says, "Be fruitful and multiply," but there's something more added to that blessing. The response now is to partner with Yahweh, your creator, and co-labor with him, partner with him in the care for all of creation. And the reason that this second part of the blessing comes actually is because in a few verses before this, we read, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" See, humans are set apart from the rest of creation, where we are image bearers of Yahweh, of the Creator God, that we have his image in us. And because of that image, we are called to partake in the caring of his creation, to bring about the flourishing of life wherever we go as we represent Yahweh here on this earth. That Yahweh is inviting his creatures to trust in his abundant life-giving blessings. As you read a little further into the beginning of the story, we see quickly that the first humans are given a choice to trust in this abundant blessing or to trust in doing life their own way. And it comes through that of trees. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As you read the scriptures, you find that there's these two trees there. And we don't know why. Like, your mind's probably going like, why did God do this? Why did God give the humans this trust? But if you read the scriptures, you know, which tree do they go for? The tree of life or the other one? The other one. And that brings about not life and flourishing, but of curses into all of creation. And next week, Pastor Danner is going to preach more on that. What does it mean to live under this curse that our first parents brought into all of creation? But Yahweh puts this tree and he's saying, trust in my abundant love. Trust in my blessings. As I bless you, it leads to life. So live into life, into flourishing. But we see time and time again, we reject God's blessings and try to live life our own way. So kind of the big overarching view of what it means to have to receive this blessing is first that it is God who does the blessing. Yahweh is the one who blesses. In the first couple pages of scripture, he blesses three things: the animals, the humans, and what's the third thing he blesses? Starts with an S. The Sabbath. He blesses a day, the Sabbath day, where God rests. And that's a huge theme in the rest of the scriptures. As humans, we are called to rest on the Sabbath day because God blessed it and set it aside to be a day given to him. But God is the one who does the blessing. And then the result of God's blessing is life. Be fruitful, multiply, flourish, do what I created you to do. And then the third response to God's blessing is just set aside for his image bearers, that we are invited to partner with God as we care for the life that he creates. That we are called to be ambassadors of his life, of his love, of his blessing, that wherever we go, we should be seeking the flourishing of all of creation. That we are called to bless others as we are blessed by Yahweh. And we see this pattern throughout the Old Testament. Adam and Eve, they fail at this. So God chooses other people and people groups throughout the story of the scriptures. And he chooses them not based on their merit, not based on their resume, not based on their faithfulness, simply that he's Yahweh and he chooses them. He says, you are mine, receive my blessing, partner with me, go and bring about flourishing into all the world. Retelling this story over and over and over. And instead of eating from the tree of life and trusting in God's abundant blessing, they choose curses. They choose death over and over and over. And the reality is, you and I are no different. That God comes to us daily and he offers us life in Jesus. And how many times do we say, nope, I'm good, I got it my way. And we actually, instead of agents of human flourishing in this world, are agents of curses and death to those around us. And this story throughout the scriptures carries into the New Testament. But all of these people and people groups that Yahweh chooses in the Old Testament really are signposts pointing to the one, the only one who could fulfill this blessing, who could take this blessing and extend it to the nations, to all people. You guys know where I'm going with this. To Jesus. And just as God's abundant blessing was offered through a tree in the garden, God's abundant blessing is offered through Christ in another tree in the New Testament, but that of a cross, which the Messiah of the world died and bled on. As his blood flowed from his body, as life left his body, he poured that life, that blessing upon all who received the free gift of the life that Christ alone fulfilled. You see, as Lutherans, we love this passage. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. If you're a cradle Lutheran, you're like, yes and amen. But we forget to go on. We forget to read the second half of this great message that Paul is giving the church. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Come on, I know you're Lutheran. For what? Which God prepared before him that we should what? Come on, that we should? This isn't works righteousness, people. This is the simple outflowing of receiving the blessings we have in Christ. This is an echo of Genesis, where God speaks his blessing, but this time he speaks it through the person, through the work of Christ. And it flows to us, and we receive it as a gift, and we share that. We bring human flourishing wherever we are sent. I think the first time I really started to wrestle with what does it mean to be blessed was the first time I got to go to Haiti to do humanitarian work. Has anyone ever been to Haiti? We got a couple, right? I was in Port-au-Prince, partnering with a seminary there, and I was wrecked because I had never been to a developed world. And in my mind, that level of poverty and human just basic survival needs, that was on the other side of the globe, not a 3-hour flight from Miami. And I spent a week with Christians and non-Christians who Port-au-Prince, where Port-au-Prince was their home, building homes with people. And I remember seeing just so much poverty and basic survival needs not being met day in day. And I remember getting on the plane and flying home, and one of the people I was with, he was saying, "Man, we are so blessed for where we live." And I started going, blessed, that's an interesting word. Because in that moment, this Jesus' Sermon on the Mount started going through my mind. Blessed are those who are poor in the spirit, the meek, the merciful, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I'm going, blessed. Are we really blessed? Or are we fortunate? If you've been to Haiti, you can't leave Haiti without getting the voodoo doo-doo. Use your imagination, right? I remember coming home and being I'm not one to normally drink from the faucet at DFW. I drink my expensive bottled water, but I remember getting off the plane and being I'm going to drink a gallon of this because it's not going to kill me, right? Is that blessed or am I fortunate? And going home to my beautiful home with my family and not worried that gang members are going to come and take my home away. Having so much food in my fridge that I have to throw it away because I didn't eat it that week. And I started to have this turmoil and even guilt. If you've spent time in a developed world, you've probably experienced that guilt coming home, right? Going I don't know. Or even maybe driving down 35 and seeing the homeless people around going, there's this, what does this mean? Am I blessed? Am I not? According to the scriptures, I spent a week with people in Haiti and I went on many more trips of people that had a sense of joy and blessedness that had nothing that myself, that my wife, that my family, that the church I pastored at the time really didn't have. And it got me wrestling. What does it mean to be #blessed? And even this week, as I've been wrestling through this, through the scriptures, I'm kind of, my heart's starting to move. And this is the invitation for you this morning. That yes, our blessings, I do believe, the clean water I have and the healthcare systems that we have and the homes and all this, they are blessings from the Lord, but we need to be careful how we use those blessings. Do we see them as gifts that are given to us by God simply for ourselves or actually to bring about human flourishing wherever we are sent? That my home, which is, you might not believe it, but I am kind of extroverted, but not crazy extroverted. I need to go home to get away from church people and recoup, right? My wife is very introverted, so our home can easily become a shelter from the big, scary world. But actually, if we truly see it as a blessing from the Lord, it's a place where we get to invite people in so they get to experience the hospitality of Jesus. My family time is important. It's also an idol in our modern age. Actually, is family a place where we get to invite other people who don't have families to come experience love and acceptance and being part of a larger family? That is the blessing. Do I need to talk about our money? You're like, can you just talk about the election instead? That'd be a lot less painful, right? Our money It's all God's, all of it. But do you see it as a tool? Yes, provide for your family. It's not wrong to save and go on a vacation. It's not wrong to have a car that turns on when you turn it on in the morning. But do we see our money actually for the sake of other people, to bless them, to bring flourishing to people that maybe don't have it or as much as you? And this is true not just for the individual and the families, the people sitting in the pews, but for us as a church family. Is this beautiful property just a place that we have to keep clean and only what we want for the events that we want to do? Or is it actually a place to invite people from off the streets and people that look different and vote differently than you to come and experience the hospitality of Jesus? The money that you give to the church, are we using it in a way that is blessing those who don't yet know Jesus? Or is it keeping this place to seem like at times, which most churches do, at times I fall into it as a country club for what I want to do and make me feel good? Or is it for the sake of those who have not yet experienced the flourishing life that only Jesus, the Messiah, can offer? Pastor, you're coming in with the law. You're coming in a little hot. Yeah, because we're actually blessed to be a blessing. We are given much to give even more away because we have a God who gives abundantly. Who gives abundantly. So in a few moments, we're going to have a bunch of kids come up and a bunch of teachers come up, and we're going to bless their backpacks. Here's the thing. We're not blessing their backpacks. We're blessing the little shoulders. They're going to be carrying those backpacks into the schools in the next week or two. We're going to be blessing the teachers who are going in to teach and care for our children, that they may take the flourishing that they've received in Jesus and freely give it away in the classroom, on the playground. I don't know your context. I don't know what you're walking into this week, but if you're a baptized child of God, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and my prayer is that you wake up tomorrow morning, you leave this place today and say, Holy Spirit, you have blessed me with so many riches. Help me bless others. And know the good news, according to Paul in Ephesians, he's already prepared the good works for you to do. He's prepared them. All you have to do is not even say yes, to say help. Help. Help me, Jesus, follow you and be a blessing because you have blessed me. So Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you weigh heavy on our hearts, Lord. May we not feel guilt like I felt on the plane back from Haiti, Lord, but may we feel the abundant love of the Father, which is poured out upon his precious blood of his Son. And Spirit, you have given that to us. You have called us into the family of God. So may we be a blessing to others, and may you give us minds and imaginations to walk with you faithfully in obedience, because you have prepared the good works for us in advance. Come, Holy Spirit. And the church said, Amen.